Mr. President, I would move that Senate Joint Resolution Number 45 be brought before the body for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Buchanan. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is, the resolution is before the body. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would first move the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. I have a Senate substitute I would like to send forward, ask for unanimous consent for a waiver of the reading that has been distributed.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Move for the adoption. Mr. President, this is the Senate substitute that I described that talks about the powers of the board and the makeup of the board. I have an amendment I would like to offer. It can be read.
Senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of Senate Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45. Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Shields to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Joint Senate Joint Resolution 45, page 3, section 2A, line 8, by inserting immediately after the word, quote, established, close quote, the following, quote, as well as the Coordinating Board for Higher Education and the Department of Higher Education, close quote, and further amend line 9 by inserting after all of said line the following, quote, 5. The provisions of this section shall become effective July 1st, 2011, close quote.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move for the adoption of the amendment. Mr. President, this amendment does two things. It does first what the senator from Jasper offered up as a suggestion, which makes sure that the powers that of both the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and the powers of the Department of Higher Education through the Coordinating Board of Higher Education all roll up to the new board. Does that. Then the other thing it does is to allow for a easier transition into this, not only just budget items, but also to give the legislature the ability to come back and modify, more time to do statutory changes that may be required. It says the effective date for the new board is July 1 of 2011, so the very beginning day of the next fiscal year. So when this body comes back next year and budgets, they can budget, they'll know whether this is passed with the voters, they can budget to the new Department of Higher Education, or excuse me, the Department of Education. So that's what the amendment does. Be happy to answer any questions on that or on the underlying Senate substitute.
Senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. Senator from the 7th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire of the senator from Buchanan.
Does the senator from Buchanan yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Okay, why don't we go on the amendment first? I don't have a copy of it. If I could get one, I'd like to have one.
We'll have one sent your way.
Okay, the first statement you made was it sounded like the powers of them all moved to one, or was it the board members? I didn't hear that real well.
The existing boards just go away.
Right. In 45.
Becomes effective. What this does, in statute, there are references from both on the higher ed side and the elementary and secondary side that refers to the State Board of Education and the Coordinating Board of Higher Education. What this does is clean out all that and says that where those references are, that the successor Board of Education will handle all those references.
So it's kind of cleanup in a way?
Well, it covers all that language in statute by putting it in the Constitution. So whatever in statute refers to the Coordinating Board of Higher Education will now automatically go up to the Board of Education.
Okay, that I'm fine with that. Let me ask you on this. As you know, you and I have already discussed the makeup of the board. Would you rather wait to discuss that after you finish with the amendment?
I'm good either way. The senator from CAPE is going to have, he has another idea about the board.
Okay.
He puts a smaller board. I can argue both ways on this thing.
Okay.
They're both valid
arguments.
Do you want
to go now, or you want to wait? Or I mean, I can do it. I agree with the smaller board, and you know, as I've mentioned before, I also don't feel that we should dispense with all the experience that we have on the boards right now, but that we should retain part of it And then go forward with appointments rather than get rid of all of them and start totally new with appointments. But I can wait till you finish this, however you want to do it.
Yeah, well, if it might be cleaner just to go ahead and adopt the amendment,
yeah,
and we can go to the next discussion.
I'll wait then. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I think the senator from the 7th may have just asked this. Has the amendment been handed out yet?
It was
read.
Just read.
Senator, are you still wishing to be recognized?
Yes. Yeah. Inquire the senator from Buchanan.
Does the senator from Buchanan yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. So, Senator, tell me exactly what are we doing with the amendment that I think came actually from the – I think you offered it, but it came from the senator from Jasper.
Well, the amendment does two things. One of them is says that the powers that exist in statute – or the, I shouldn't say the powers. The references in statute that refer to either DESE or the Coordinating Board of Higher Education, those will now reflect that those refer to the new entity, which is the Department of Education.
And I understood where you were going with your...
The Department of Education succeeds the Coordinating Board of Education and DESE.
Right. But in your discussion with the senator from Jasper a minute ago, your issue was, and I agreed with your SJR 45, we dissolve this and then we come back and we look at how this is going to be handled. I mean, what I see with this amendment is, first of all, I'm assuming this is being done for some form of cost savings.
You know, cost savings is part of it, but creating a better education system, a seamless education system, is probably the better motive to do this in the long term. What I would suggest is that we also, in this amendment, I put an effective date of July 1 of 2011 for the new board, that gives this body... be up to folks like you, it won't be up to me, the ability to come back and spend an entire session looking at statutory changes that they may want to make to help that board work better.
But that's why I think the better way to go here is the original language you had in your SJR 45, and then we come back and we evaluate that. I mean, the problem here is we're locking ourselves in, and the other issue is if the purpose is to effectuate some form of cost savings by basically saying, well, we're going to do away with the coordinating board, but we're just going to take all their authority and give it to this new board. I mean, that doesn't change anything in terms of cost savings.
Oh, I think there would be some efficiencies that come through that.
Well,
I mean, you're just taking the duties, and right now you have duties and responsibilities for DESE, duties and responsibilities for the coordinating board.
Right.
It says all that rolls up to the new board. Okay, then... if you want to come back next year and start to look at all those duties and responsibilities, it gives you time to do that. I think what Senator from Jasper was arguing that essentially you kind of remain silent on the whole deal for the coordinating board, and he thought maybe it put, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but thought maybe it put those duties and responsibilities kind of out there in limbo because they reference the coordinating board, which if both these pass, will no longer exist.
Right, which I think that language is fine in your original SJR.
What university do you represent?
I just don't see I don't see any cost savings here. If you're going to eliminate the coordinating board, rather than come back and have time to do a meaningful look at what authority this new board is going to have, and you simply say, well, we're eliminating one board, but we're just going to take that authority and give it all just as already exists in statute to this new board, you're really not doing anything other than just kind of moving the shells around.
Yeah, but there's some functions to it. And then the other thing in the resolution, it gives the new board a great deal more authority over higher education than the existing coordinating board. Remember, one of the arguments is the existing coordinating board essentially is a weak coordinating board. They have the ability to approve new programs, and essentially they have 1% budget authority over the institutions, with the exception of the UM system. And that's You know, I've observed, in one of my, serving on the MEC Commission, I've got to observe all these different governance structures all across the Midwest. I would argue there's not a perfect one out there, but you would say, by most would agree, that Missouri's system of governance over higher education is a fairly weak coordinating board. This will change that.
Right, and I understand that. But I didn't really see anything in the original language of your SJR 45 that really did that.
It gives them budgetary authority, which they don't have right now. Gives them the ability to consolidate and merge institutions, which has to be ratified by the General Assembly. Also gives them the ability to eliminate programs. Right now, essentially they can create a program, but it's very hard for them to eliminate a program. Those are all powers that they do not have right now.
Right. Well, again, I don't know that I have an issue with that. I have an issue with transferring all authority of the coordinating board to the new board, because I don't think that really gets you anything.
How would you do it? I mean.
Well, I think, as you suggested to the senator from Jasper, the better way to do it is to go ahead and move forward with your SJR, and then we come back and we evaluate what authorities that may have existed.
But you can do that no matter what, because by moving the effective date to July 1 of next year, you have an entire legislative session to come back and make those changes.
Right, but the issue is, by default, that's what happens.
Well,
and I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to make public policy, as opposed to, rather than setting something that, holding a gun to your head, it's going to happen no matter what, you step back and you do a reasonable analysis of what authority. I mean, maybe there's more, maybe there's less. But I also think it takes off some of the sense of urgency to do that kind of
thing. Well, I understand. I mean, there's two, it's like the when Michigan eliminated, all their taxes and said, it creates new incentive to create a new one. Same thing when we undid our Medicaid system and said, after a date certain it doesn't exist, and it tells the legislature you've got to do that. If you want to, you can do whatever you want. If you want to divide the question, I can. That may be a good argument. I do think you need to set the effective date July 1 of next year. So,
okay. Well, I think I'm going to have an amendment to your amendment. So,
okay.
Mr. President.
Senator from Boone.
I have an amendment.
Please send the amendment forward.
I better sign the amendment first.
Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Schaefer to amend Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45, page 1, line 4, by inserting immediately after the first use of the word, quote, education, close quote, the following, quote, except with regard to the state university established under Article 9, Section 9A and 9B, close quote.
Senator from Boone.
What that amendment would do, it would say that that board, that entity that's established in the Missouri Constitution over the University of Missouri system would be exempt from the amendment of the provisions carrying over the authority of the coordinating board to the new board.
Would you like to move for the adoption?
I would move for the adoption.
Senator from Boone has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1. Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I get a copy of both amendments, and can I inquire the senator from Jasper?
Sorry. Get you those copies. Senator from Jasper, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and the reason I'm inquiring of you is you were the sponsor of what I think is one of the broadest reform packages with higher education that we have passed since my time in the General Assembly that dealt with the MOHELA bill, and also in particular as it related to the caps that we put on tuition. And I'm trying to get an understanding of where the senator from Buchanan's amendment in conjunction with the senator from Boone's amendment, who would have control over the approval of tuition increases in the scenario envisioned.
Senator from Boone's amendment were to go on, there wouldn't be any control over the University of Missouri's tuition. It would be exempted.
Okay. And right now, we do have that control over the University of Missouri. And there was talk at the time when we passed that of whether we could do that or not. And obviously, the University of Missouri has participated in this quote-unquote deal, as I, for the listeners on the Internet, give the rabbit ears around the word deal. and not to raise their tuition. We saw through great compromises, the senator from Boone's concerns that that deal was not going to be honored. So we put in $14.3 million to keep that deal so tuition wouldn't rise. And I just wanted to make sure I was clear in reading these amendments that it looks to me like the University of Missouri is consenting to that statute that they won't raise tuition. In fact, clearly, they're participating in deals.
They clearly are, and they clearly have been.
And didn't know if you had any thoughts on that, allow this to go on.
You know, I think this amendment that the Senator from Boone has offered essentially attempts to exempt the university from any participation. It goes the opposite direction of the kind of collaboration, coordination effort for higher education that we've pursued for the last 20 or 30 years in this state.
I have no problem if we want to exempt the University of Missouri from all the general taxpayer monies and to exempt them from the appropriations process here. But I have yet to see a time in my service in the General Assembly where the University of Missouri has not come here and asked for money.
Right.
Whether it be capital appropriations or operating funds. So I kind of supported at the time the global understanding, even though, yes, the University of Missouri is an entity that's in the Constitution.
Well,
there needs to be a partnership in all of this.
The reason I thought that this amendment was necessary is because there are a number of statutory requirements for the successor requirements for the Department of Higher Education and the ongoing statutory duties of the Coordinating Board for Higher Education that are statutory obligations for the state to carry out, and that's the entity that has that responsibility. If we abolish the entity and we don't have any successor language, then we have a lot of statutory requirements with nobody in place to carry them out. And so
I agree with your underlying amendment. I just wanted to make my make my understanding clear as it relates. If the senator from Boone's amendment goes on, the University of Missouri is exempt from that tuition.
And it's his amendment is a retroactive attempt to undo public policy formation over the last couple of decades. And
I'm fine with that if we want to just carve the University of Missouri out of our general and save $500 million. I mean, but do you think that will occur?
I don't think that will occur.
Okay.
I wonder if the senator from Boone would be willing to accept an amendment basically exclude them from participation in the appropriations process as well.
I mean, because right now, Senator, I think the Missouri Southern has cooperative agreements with the University of Missouri for degree granting that CBHE oversees.
Correct.
I know that Southeast Missouri State University has cooperative educational agreements with the University of Missouri that CBHE oversees.
Well, the University of Missouri was a very active participant in framing Senate Bill 389 and in developing the appropriate role for the coordinating board. And the Senator from Boone's amendment is contrary to the public policy position that the university assumed at that time and is inconsistent with the university's position on this matter.
Well, it is consistent with the flagship organization, and I've got one of those. His name's John Lichtenegger.
Yeah,
they're out there with the University of Missouri, and that they're the only entity in the state, and everything else should be the University of Missouri at Cape Girardeau, the University of Missouri at Joplin, the University of Missouri everywhere else, and. You know what I just saw out of the corner of my eye? We have former Senator Gross that is here, and we definitely welcome him. He looks healthy, and it's great to have. Yeah. And I just see him here as we're talking with a Boone County issue. He used to offer a bill that said this won't affect as long, or what was it, that you can't have Misha in any town that legalizes marijuana. So maybe we could have, with his attendance here, an amendment that says, well, this will occur so long as, or the University of Missouri can't locate in a town that legalizes marijuana. Maybe that would be a good amendment to have.
Yeah, but your point is that the amendment is a suggestion that there be no accountability for the taxpayer dollars that are received.
Except for the Board of Regents or whatever
right.
they call themselves.
Right.
Curators,
right.
I think they
right.
call themselves. From where they're at. Okay. Well, so, I appreciate that perspective. You being the bill handler on that, I just wanted to shore up my opinions and appreciate the information.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment to the amendment. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Boone.
Does the senator from Boone yield?
Yes, I do.
He does. Proceed.
I mean, I understand why the UM system wants out of everything, but I think the center from Cape and the center from Jasper raised a pretty good point that, one, it would probably exempt them from the control of tuition that exists within the coordinating board. The other thing, though, that, and we talked about Senate Bill 389, I think they were talking about, you go back even further into that 6 years ago, Senate Bill 98, which was the senator from Green's bill, that created name changes on a number of institutions. But also in that bill, there were agreements that between the UM system and Missouri State University with some level of oversight by the coordinating board. In my interpretation, it would nullify all of those as well, what you're attempting to do. Do you have an opinion on that? Or?
Well, no, and I think what, you know, the exchange we just saw between the senator from Cape and the senator from Jasper is a complete misunderstanding of what the Missouri Constitution says and our constitutional obligation to fund the University of Missouri, which is unique and by itself from every other four-year public institution in this state. And I know that they don't like that, you know, but you don't get to pick and choose the provisions of the Constitution that you think you want to enforce. You got to take it lock, stock, and barrel, and you got to. We all took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the state of Missouri in its entirety.
But the problem is you have the UM system that exists in the state constitution, okay, and it sits there. But you also have statutory requirements for the UM system that are not in conflict with their constitutional origins, okay, and. What your amendment attempts to do is preserve the constitutional side of it and destroy all the statutory provisions which have already been created in such a manner that they're not in conflict with the Constitution to leave them as essentially the MoDOT of higher education. And I don't think that's where this body wants to go.
No, because we still do have appropriation authority over them. We're obligated to fund them, but we still appropriate to them.
Well, I guess if I represented Boone County, I'd probably be offering the same amendment, but I'm not sure for the rest of the state and for public higher education policy as a whole, it's the right amendment.
But see, that's where I think we get off track on the regionalism for higher ed. The University of Missouri is not the University of Columbia. It's not the University of Boone County. It's the University of Missouri, yet in recent years we've treated it like it's the University of Boone County, especially when we've seen a lot of regional schools which were at one time colleges as a result of access of student aid and other things, be elevated to university status, and then through the coordinating board be given the same level as an institution that offers master's degrees and PhDs and is a land-grant and research university. When those other institutions may be fine institutions, but they are not the same type of institution.
Yeah, but not every institution in the UM system has the same...
I agree with that.
Is the flagship, which so I understand where you're headed. I just think as public policy for all, trying to create this system of higher education, it already has a certain amount of constitutional protection. I just don't know that we want to give it entire statutory protection as an institution. So thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment to the amendment. Senator from Jasper, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak against the amendment to the amendment.
Proceed.
Mr. President, higher education in Missouri has had a significant culture change in recent years that has resulted in greater collaboration, cooperation, cohesion, common interest, and as a consequence of that, our institutions are working together better now than they ever have in the history of their state. That's largely a consequence of the work of the coordinating board and the attitudes of the leaders of the institutions. And the University of Missouri has been a leader in those consolidation and collaboration efforts. This amendment does violence, I think, to the whole process and would lead to a reconstruction of the sort of regional rivalries that we've worked so hard to eliminate. And I think not only would be destructive to the University of Missouri, but to the entire higher education system by basically destroying the responsibilities of the coordinating board. The amendment itself is to allow a framework for the continuation of the statutory responsibilities that are presently housed in the coordinating board as a successor to the Department of Higher Education. Without the amendment, those statutory requirements are not carried on by anyone. There's language conveying DESE's statutory responsibilities to the new board, but no language conveying higher education's department responsibilities to the new board. That needs to go on to try to recreate the divisions in higher education that existed prior to Senate Bill 389 and to recreate the sort of civil war that went on in this state for so many years, I think would be a very destructive thing to do. And I think the institution that would be most harmed by that is indeed the University of Missouri. And for that reason, I urge the defeat of this amendment to the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Senator from Green, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
From Boone.
Does the senator from Boone yield?
Yes, I do.
Senator, he does. Proceed.
In trying to follow this, I need a clarification from you. With your amendment, would that mean that the other higher education schools would have to go through the Board of Education for their budgeting recommendations? But the University of Missouri could go directly to the appropriations and the budget committees?
Well, that's not exactly clear, because if you look at the language that's in the joint resolution, what it says is there's some language about supervision of all instruction going to the board, this new Board of Education. I'm assuming that we're going to get to that in a minute, but a separate issue is, in response to the senator from Jasper, Senator from Buchanan offered an amendment, I believe, on behalf of the senator from Jasper that says, hey, all the authority of the coordinating board as currently exists in statute will also be given to this new Board of Education.
Okay.
So that's the underlying amendment. My amendment to the amendment is to say, except for that authority won't go to or will not be applicable to any university established under Article 9, Section 9A and 9B.
Okay, what is that authority?
That's the University of Missouri.
No, I don't mean what university. I mean, what kind of authority are we talking about? Are we talking about the authority to go directly to the budgeting committees and make an appeal for your budget, or are we talking about authority on curriculum or what?
Well, right now, in this amendment, we're just talking about the authority that currently exists by the coordinating board. So budgeting issues, tuition issues, things like that.
Yeah, but that we
basically in Senate Bill 389 a few years ago, it's all the things that are in there.
Yeah. So can you clarify for me, do you think that your amendment will allow the University of Missouri to go directly to the Appropriations Budgeting Committee members with an appeal for what they need and how they're funding, where the other schools would go through this, the Board of Education?
That's correct.
By what reasoning do you think they should be allowed to do that?
By reasoning of the Missouri Constitution, Article 9, Sections 9A and 9B.
And what does that say that gives them that?
I'd be happy to read that. The government of the state, university shall be vested in a board of curators consisting of 9 members appointed by the governor by and with the advice and the consent of the Senate. 9B, the General Assembly shall adequately maintain the state university. So what we've got is you have a constitutional recognition of the University of Missouri, which is the only institution that's recognized the Constitution, a clear constitutional mandate that university is to be operated and run by a board of curators, which we don't have for any other institution, and a statement specifically in the Missouri Constitution that the General Assembly shall fund that. Because again, as I said previously, Senator, it's not the University of Boone County. It's the University of Missouri.
But running it doesn't necessarily imply who they go to for funding it.
Well, I think when the Constitution establishes that
if the Constitution established that they could do as they please, then why would they even have to go to the budgeting committee to get their budget? They have to go to somebody to ask for their budgeting.
Right, that's 9B. That's the provision that basically says that the General Assembly shall fund the university.
Well, they will fund the university,
which says the university curators shall maintain and operate the university.
But, Senator, does it say that the amount of funding that goes to that university will be decided by the Appropriations Committee, or does it simply say that the General Assembly will fund the university?
It simply says the General Assembly will fund the university.
All right. I don't see that that's any constitutional authority that says that you don't have to go to the Board of Education to make the recommendation of how the funding should be
divided. No, I think it does, because what you're doing is you're taking the management and operational and control authority from the Board of Curators and giving it to the coordinator.
No, they can still manage the school. They have to go outside themselves anyway to ask for the funding.
Yeah, I don't agree with you on that, Senator.
They don't have to go outside the school system to ask for their funding?
No, I think they do, but I think that putting them under the coordinating board circumvents the constitutional language, which gives the authority and control to the Board of Curators, because they have to go through the coordinating board.
They don't have the control over how much funding they'll get. That doesn't go... The university doesn't decide...
It tells them what... It limits what their tuition can be. It limits other budget
issues.
That
is management of it. And
I
agree
with
you.
Which is left to the Board of Curators.
And I agree with you, it should be. But you're saying, therefore, that means that the amount of money that they get shouldn't go under the Board of Education, because they are supposed to be managing their own school. But you already acknowledge it has to go through the Appropriations Committee.
Yes,
they don't have the decision of how much money they get.
Right, but that is our determination, as established in Section 19.
No, that Section 19 doesn't say that we determine the amount of it.
The General Assembly shall adequately maintain the state university.
We will fund it. It doesn't say who decides at what level we fund it. So why should they be free of the... Why can't the Board of Education look at the entire educational system and say, okay, the University of Missouri needs X amount of money, and you can go to them and tell them what you need. Missouri State needs X amount, the regional schools need X amount, and then they take that recommendation and the budgeting committee budgets it, and the General Assembly funds it. It can't be funded without General Assembly authority, but there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the university doesn't have to go through the same board to get their funding level set as everybody else.
And we also disagree.
Senator, it seemed to me you suggested that because they are the land-grant college, and the research college, that they are the only statewide college in the state, and that's not true.
Oh, no, I didn't imply that, Senator.
Okay, I got that implication. But I do not think there's anything in the Constitution that says that they can go directly to that they have the authority to go directly to the Appropriations Committee for the amount of their funding. It just says the General Assembly will fund them, which we fund all of them, and if we have the Board of Education deciding the level of funding, you have to go through somebody else to get your level of funding anyway, and there's nothing in the Constitution that says it can't go through the Board of Education. It has to go through the Appropriations Committee.
Yeah, we'll just have to disagree on that.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion on the amendment to the amendment. Senator from Andrew, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from Boone.
Does the Senator from Boone yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Okay. I'm sorry I missed the first part of this. Explain to me the special carve-out that you're trying to do for the University of Missouri versus the rest of the state.
Well, the Senator from Buchanan has his resolution, which eliminates DESE and higher ed and takes all the existing authority of those entities and puts it in a new single Board of Education.
Right.
And in response to a request from a senator from Jasper, added an amendment to that resolution, which says, and all the authority of the coordinating board, because that wasn't in the original language, shall be given also to this new Board of Education. What my amendment does is for that amendment, it takes out the University of Missouri as the entity that's established in Article 9, Section 9A and B of the Constitution.
So why... I don't have a copy of your amendment here with me.
It was read.
It was read?
Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew.
Can I get a copy of the Senator from Boone's amendment, please? Thank you.
Amendment number two.
So help me understand, Senator, why your institution gets to come out.
Because
my institution gets to stay under.
Well, number one, because it is identified as the state's university in the Constitution.
We can fix that, right? This is an SJR.
You can try.
Well, as I said, Senator,
we've got a finite dollar amount for higher ed.
Right.
And it's like spreading too little butter on too much toast. We've got too many higher ed institutions that we're spreading too little money out over. And what I'm doing with this amendment, and I'm going to go ahead and pull it, but I want this body to recognize it is the University of Missouri, not the University of Boone County. It is all of our university, and it belongs to every taxpayer of this state, and we need to treat it that way. And if we are low on funds, which we truly are, then what we need to do is look at how much are we giving to some of these other institutions, and do we need all these institutions? And just because money was free and easy from the federal government in the 1980s, in 1990s for student aid, if you were bumped up to university status, everybody who was at one time a regional college became a university for no other reason than easy access of free federal money.
Well, which ones became a university?
It is hard to say.
Which ones became a university during that period?
Well, when you look at, do we have any regional colleges anymore? They're all universities.
Okay.
And it's not just the public sector, it's the private sector as well. The same thing happened. Senator, I'm going to go ahead and pull my amendment. But I wanted to add this amendment because one thing that was discussed when the language was not in the original joint resolution, and the senator from Jasper was inquiring from the senator from Buchanan. The senator from Buchanan said, we'll eliminate the coordinating board and we can come back next year and reevaluate what authority we want the board to have in regard to what the coordinating board has now. And I think that is the better way to do it, to reevaluate all this and what we're spending on all these institutions.
So how do you determine, I guess that's what I'm really trying to get at here is, from your perspective, you're saying we have too many regional institutions, then who gets to decide which ones get closed?
Well, and that's the political reality is no one is going to let a school from their district be closed. But the reality is it's just like the cuts we had to make to mental health and the cuts we made to K-12 and the cuts we made to higher ed, somebody's got to make these cuts. It's just like the bill that the senator from the 8th had dealing with the Department of Corrections and some of these things that we don't like, but somebody's got to look at this stuff and say, we don't have the money anymore to spend like drunken sailors and spread it all over the place. We have to make the hard decisions that we've got to close some institutions, and whether those are mental health facilities or whether those are higher ed institutions or whether those are programs at various state agencies, nothing should be left off the table to be evaluated. I wanted to bring this amendment to everybody's attention so we can have that discussion. And if we go ahead and we leave the amendment in from the Senator from Buchanan, which I'm assuming we probably will, we're going to have that discussion next year, and I look forward to having that discussion. But I think we need to realize the differences between the institutions and how much money we are allocating to each one. So with that, Mr. President, would you return my amendment, please?
I believe the senator from Andrew had the floor.
But he can pull his amendment. I am done, Mr.
You
President.
You finished with your inquiry?
Yes.
Senator, he can pull his amendment at any time. Okay. Send the amendment back. Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of Senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, thank you for yielding. As I indicated on the previous discussion of the other SJR, now that we're on 45, so I fully understand.
Now, you realize we're on my amendment.
Yes, but okay. I heard the discussion from the senator from Boone, and it kind of begs the question that I was, so I fully comprehend everything that's going on in this SJR.
Okay.
Would your SJR 45, I assume, cover community colleges?
Yes.
Okay.
To the extent, remember, community colleges are also political subdivisions.
Okay, and I guess that gets to my point. We have a subdivision, a political subdivision that collects its own taxes
right.
That's funded locally.
Right.
And in your SJR, the term oversight and authority of this board, So are we conveying with the term oversight and authority locally collected taxes by a local political subdivision to where a state board is making decisions on where those dollars go and how that money is spent?
Senator from Jasper has an amendment that will clarify that. Let me tell you what the intent is. Of
oversight and authority is the thing I was concerned about.
Particularly with budget items, the intent would be the General Assembly would appropriate to the board for higher education, including community colleges. At least this is my mind. Then they would go through their formula, which they have, to disseminate money back down to the institutions. Then Senator from Jasper is going to offer an amendment that will clarify at that point it's the institution's decisions on how they spend their money. They have their own elected boards and things like that. So in a community college, it would clarify that those duly elected board of trustees for the community colleges would continue to have budget authority over their institution.
Okay. Except to the extent that all the money goes to the original board. You alluded to a formula. I mean, do you see my point that I guess what are we in any way conveying an authority that gets beyond a local taxpayer? Are we going to run into the same situation potentially the way it's worded now? Are we going to run into a situation where what happened on almost every education bill evolving formula districts where you have a donor state district, you have a district that's on a formula? I guess what I'm saying is every locally collected dollar for the community college going to stay in that political subdivision under their duly elected board to determine how that money is spent, or is it going to go to the state?
No, this would not.
Kick back to them, you know.
This would not change that, and I probably need to ask the senator from Jasper, it's been a while since I've been on appropriations, but I don't remember the line item, how it works for community colleges. It is a single line, and there's a formula by which the funds are distributed, and I don't remember if it's per pupil or whatever, and we would still distribute those in the same manner, but they would be distributed by the Board of Education.
I guess you would not oppose defining that if the senator from Jasper's amendment does not clearly define that, you would not be opposed to kind of clearly defining it.
I would not.
What I'm saying is if I choose as a taxpayer to fund my community college, I'm not as a voter or taxpayer conveying that authority to the state.
I understand completely.
Right.
And that would not be my intent.
I know that's not your intent. I just want to make sure whatever we're passing.
If you need to clarify that to the extent that it doesn't give them more power than they have right now, I would be fine with that.
Okay. And then I wanted to add an amendment that we would charge a surcharge to St. Louis suburban school districts. I think the senator from 15th has that amendment. I'm just kidding. Thank you.
An extra 10%?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
That worked out pretty well for me so far. So I'm on my way.
Senator from Jasper, for what purpose do you seek
amendment?
Recognition?
It is short. I would ask that it be read.
This is an amendment to the amendment. Senator from Jasper. Senator Jasper, this is an amendment to the amendment?
It is an amendment to the amendment.
Yes, that it be read?
Well, I'm not sure. Can we do it as an amendment to the amendment? No. Send that back. I'm going to wait and do it as a separate amendment.
Please send the amendment back. Further discussion on Senate Amendment 1. Offered by the senator from Buchanan. Hearing none, Senator from Buchanan, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
I close.
Senator from Buchanan.
It is short, and I would ask that it be read.
Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Nadler to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45, page 2, section 2A, lines 20, 21, by striking all of said lines and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, include but not limited to the allocation of monies appropriated by the General Assembly to the board for each public institution of higher education in the state, close quote.
Adoption of the amendment, and as Senator from Buchanan described it earlier, what this does is it simply, it narrows the construction of the language, and instead of describing the oversight and authority, it simply says that the General Assembly shall allocate and appropriate monies to this board for each public institution of higher education in the state. And therefore, the individual lines are protected. Be happy to answer questions.
Senator from Jasper has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2. Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
First of all, I'd like to get a copy of the amendment, please. And then secondly, I'd like to inquire the senator from Jasper.
Bring a copy of the, get a copy of the amendment.
Or could it be distributed? I'm sorry. Could the amendment be distributed to everybody?
Mr. Senator, would the senator from Jasper yield to the senator?
I yield, and I won't close until the amendment's been distributed.
Thank you very much, Senator.
Proceed with your inquiry.
I am trying to understand. I'm looking, first of all, at what the original bill does, and I'm trying to figure out what you're taking out of that. Because if I'm looking, just a second, let me finish the question. If I'm looking at the summary here, I'm looking at we're adding language with the three specific powers of this board, right? One, oversight and authority over the budgets of higher education institutions. Everybody except the University of Missouri, Columbia. Is that right?
Right.
Now, what is your amendment doing in relation to that?
Well, if you'll turn to page 2 of the resolution and look down to line 19, section 2, it reads, the board shall have such powers and duties that shall include but not be limited to the oversight and authority over the budgets of the public higher education institutions in the state, except for the state university under Article 9, sections 9A and 9B. I understood the intent of the senator from Buchanan to be was to have the legislature appropriate to this board an amount that then the board would distribute to each of the institutions a specific amount. It was my reading of the language that it went beyond that and would have the new general state board actually making the budget determinations at the institutional level and having authority over each individual institution's budget. What this amendment would do is it would permit the board to determine the amount per institution to separate out the dollars, but it would retain to each institutional governing board the authority over how that budget is developed and implemented at the institutional level. That's the intent that we sought to have the amendment drafted to fulfill.
Okay, I'm not sure if that's clear to me. In my mind, it may be clear to others.
I'm not either. I'm relying on the Senate research staff that assures me that that's what this amendment does.
Well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I am very concerned, Senator. I am very concerned that we have a board sitting here that will look, I guess, at each of these institutions and figure out how much money you're supposed to have. And I'm assuming that that's what all of this is designed to do.
That is in both the amendment that I've offered and in the underlying resolution.
That
is the intention of the underlying resolution.
Right.
And my amendment, that's actually... I don't know that I'm
100%
for that either, but that is the intention of the senator from Buchanan. What I'm trying to do is to scale back the language so that that intent doesn't go beyond that to actually micromanage the management of the budget at the institutional level. The purpose of this amendment is to narrow the scope of this language to the allocation of the dollars to each institution from this board, which you may or may not favor, and I may or may not favor, but...
assuming the resolution passes and that authority passes to this board, I do not want that authority to go beyond that to include the actual structure of the operation of the budgets at the institutional level.
Okay.
So this is an attempt to scale back that level of authority.
Right. Okay, so that let's take that a little step further then. Okay, if we have, we're going to have the monies that's going to this board, and according to you, and I hope I'm reading this right, then they will do the allocation to the individual institutions.
Correct.
That's what you're saying. Now, how will they be able to distribute that money without knowing what's going on at that institution? Have we taken out the board of curators or trustees or whatever?
That's what I'm trying to avoid. Is a removal of the functional responsibility of the governing bodies, boards of each of these schools.
Well, Senator, if I'm reading this correctly, I think that's probably what has been done here. Because if you have the amount of money here, and it's going to the board of governors, let's say, or the board of curators, okay, and so I don't know what authority do they have. You've already determined how much they're going to get.
Right. Well, you know, They would determine what goes to what department, what portion of the money is for capital.
If they get any at all.
Pardon me?
Okay. Well,
in other words, and again, your concern about the general loss of authority from the governing board to this new state board, I think, is a concern more directed to the senator from Buchanan's underlying resolution.
Okay.
That's
well,
its
we'll
purpose.
Get to that.
What I'm trying to do with this amendment, and I'm not necessarily fully resolved on the underlying resolution. What I'm trying to do is improve the resolution so that if this increased authority is created for this board, that it doesn't decimate the authority of the governing boards of the institutions, and that we narrow this new scope of authority to the allocation of the state appropriation to the schools, not to the oversight and authority and management of the individual institutional
right,
budgets.
Right, and I understand that part. I'm just not sure that your amendment gets to that. And I may be completely incorrect. I don't know. But when I read this, it was not clear to me that that's what was happening.
I'm not sure it does either. I've asked the research staff, and they've assured me that that is what this does. And I have to trust them. And so Jim's nodding his head yes. So
well.
That's the best effort of our research staff to craft language to get us to that goal, and I trust that that's what it actually does. Now, beyond that, I think the discussion about the underlying resolution
is
healthy and should go on. I'm just saying, if we're going to do this, let's not obliterate, decimate, and eliminate the functions of the local government.
There you go with them
$100
words again, Senator. I told you $10 words will work. Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I inquire the Senator from Buchanan?
Does the Senator from Buchanan yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Because I had some concerns about this implementation of a concept I really like. This is one of the areas where I have some concern. And I've listened to the discussion of the sponsor of the amendment with the senator from the 14th. And as you envisioned this, did you have in mind in the budget now, every campus has its own figure. Did you is that what you envisioned continuing?
No.
You didn't?
No. Here's the problem that I see right now is that the Coordinating Board of Higher Education has a formula of which they determine how much everybody's supposed to get. Okay. And they recommend that to the Appropriations Committee. You know, you sit on that.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you're the institution, if you're lucky enough to have the Appropriations Chairman, or the budget chairman, or somebody else, you can get around that formula. And you can have money added to your institution because you just happen to have the right person in the right place at the right time. Now, what I believe is, and that's why we say we have a weak...
Is that why Western's done so well?
Could be. as has Southern. So, to me, the way to get around that is, and to really have a strong coordinating board, is you place that authority in the coordinating board to actually follow their formula. And, of course, the legislature will have input in that. I mean, the legislature can always go to those folks and say, listen, we don't think you're doing it right, so therefore we're going to cut your money or whatever. I mean, there is the ability to impact that. And then they send the money down to the institutions, and then as the senator from Jasper offered up an amendment, the institutions then have the authority to spend based on their own governing process as they do now.
Well, and that's what I'm interested in, is that they have the authority to spend from their allocation.
I think that's what the senator from Jasper's amendment preserves, that maybe the underlying constitutional amendment may not be totally clear on. He was worried that not only would the Board of Education say, this is how much money the institution gets, by the way, institution, you have to spend it this way, and that way. What his amendment does is say that they maintain their independence in terms of their own budgetary authority. Because remember, they're mixing not only the state money, but other sources of revenue as well. And I think that seems appropriate. And then I think the another senator had mentioned, need to be careful, and you do this, that you don't create a disincentive for them to raise their own money. This would probably preserve, because they would have that authority, they would still have the incentive to go out and seek development funds or whatever.
Right. Would you envision this board addressing the issues of inequities in a more equitable way? addressing the issues of inequities.
Well, I would think so. Although, remember I don't know if you're talking about the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Well,
so
no,
that's a different deal. I mean,
I'll get to that. If there's truly a formula that's well thought out, it addresses inequities.
I would think so.
And I would like to figure out how to address the inequities within the University of Missouri system, because we've been trying for years now to address an acknowledged inequity for the UMSL campus, and we are still $2 million short, and I know that there are some people who are employed by the system who fight us on that every year, and it would be nice for somebody else to be able to, because I say they're very powerful people within the system who are opposing that.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I don't know how you, because they've got their constitution created. Their board of curators makes that decision. And as folks like yourself, if whoever your successor is, I mean, that should be a fight they continue. But it's only a fight that they can continue by suggestion or by
right,
and appropriating to the whole.
Yeah, I could go on and on about that. And I won't on your bill.
Although you did get the former senator from the 13th. He's now on the Board of Curators. So.
Well, we're hoping that helps.
And they do have a statue of him at the UMSL campus.
Yes, they do. And he was wearing a nice red Cardinal shirt when last time I saw it.
Yeah.
But that is a concern that we maintain the integrity of the... the boards that do the governing... the on-site governing of these various institutions would stay intact, is what I'm hearing you saying.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess I just need to do a little more thinking about that other problem. That if there's any way to, you don't think there's any way to address the?
I don't know how you fix that in this constitutional amendment. Now, if you want to offer another constitutional amendment up to the voters, you could try, but. Yeah, you're going against a pretty big machine there. So.
Yeah, exactly. Senator, as long as I do, let me just talk about another concern I have, and this is not in your new language, but it's in the new on page one. It's the addition of new language after this on line 10. It says the supervision of instruction in the public schools, and then you add and public education in the state across the age spectrum from early childhood through the completion of post-secondary education. That makes me a little tense about, great colleges and universities based on academic freedom and the total marketplace of ideas and nobody telling somebody what they can and can't instruct.
There is an opportunity here that to clarify. I don't think the constitutional amendment gives them more authority than they should, but there is an opportunity to clarify, and maybe you want to offer it, that institutions should have their own ability to determine their curriculum.
Okay, let me tell you. I hope that the research table is listening at this point, because I probably will be coming over to clarify this. Yeah. So let's talk about that.
I don't know if they are or they aren't.
Okay, so let's continue. Maybe we've got the potential amendment here.
What is absolutely appropriate here is an amendment to clarify and that institutions should still remain, they should have control over their instruction, their curriculum, their degree requirements, all those things that decide, for example, if they're going to be an accredited institution or not an accredited institution. They should continue to have that level of control based on their governance structure.
Okay, yes.
Okay, and that, I don't think we go past that, but that may be a clarifying amendment that maintains the individual authority to do those things.
Okay,
because I don't want, it's not my intent, I don't want a state board of education telling a professor at Missouri Western what they can teach.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. I don't want to be Kansas.
Right.
Okay. So
thank you.
So I think there's a possibility to clarify that.
Okay.
And say that that still rests. And I think that's it was explained to me by one of the folks working on this that also is important for the accreditation purposes of the institutions that they have that autonomy and authority.
Yes.
So I'm fine if if somebody wants
I'll
clarify that. I see people shaking their head over there.
Make a little journey over there and see how we can do that because that made me a little nervous.
Yep.
So I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. President.